In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us begin our service this morning in thanksgiving and prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, you who from whom all blessings flow, we today have come gathered in the safety of your kingdom. And we have come with great thanks in our hearts that you gave your dear Son on our behalf, that through his meriting work we have hope of eternal life in heaven. We offer our thanks today for this greatest gift and for all those unspeakable gifts that we even don't know how to thank you for. We ask today, dear Father, that you open your word to us. Give that portion to each listener so that they could receive refreshment and encouragement, regardless of their place here on this earth and what may be most troubling to them. Dear Father, we also yet wish to pray on behalf of those who would not be able to gather with us today, or in any place where your children have gathered today, those that are especially in far-off places. Remember each one. Help them on their walk of faith. And we also wish to pray on behalf of those who have not yet found the joy of your kingdom or have perhaps been led astray. Yet there be a moment where you can visit their hearts and they would be opened to receive that grace message of the gospel. We ask, dear Father, for all these things in the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. We also today would have a wedding prayer on behalf of Alex, Karen, Amy, Kelsey Hoppola. They will be joined in marriage on Friday, October 9th, 2015, at the Cocado Lestadian Lutheran Church here. Let us pray on behalf of this couple. God, thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home. Worthy Lord Jesus will rule in his name. Amen. Today, on the church calendar, is a day that speaks about both children and angels, known as Michaelmas. And we'll read the gospel text appointed for this day, found in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We will read from the first through the sixth verses, and then also the 10th verse. And in Jesus' name, we hear the following words. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. This text we have just heard speaks to us of the words of our Lord and Savior, and how he answered a question that had arisen from the disciples. Sometimes when we think of those who were able to be with Jesus here during his time upon this earth, perhaps we think that they were given, you could say, a better portion than you and I. But we know that they were the same as you and I. We can see here in this text that they had this kind of mind that our minds often would turn to. That this question that who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Perhaps they had been disputing amongst themselves of which of them was the greatest. Which of those 12 would deserve to sit nearest to Jesus? It is so easy for our own minds to stray into this way, for it seems that we live in this world where we have this tendency to list and rank everything from best to worst. What is the best kind of vehicle to own? What is the best kind of appliances to have in our home? What are the best toys to buy for our children? What are the best clothes? The disciples then came to Jesus with this kind of thought, that who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, as he did so often, he used a example that we would see in everyday life. He called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of all of them. And he said in this way, that verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. How is it that one enters into God's kingdom? One can only come through that door of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has said in this way, that I am the door. I am the truth and the way. Nicodemus was a man who followed the law. Once came to visit Jesus with this same kind of question. And he recognized that Jesus must have come from God. For he thought that no man could do the miracles that Jesus did except that God be with him. But Jesus told him that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus thought of this in a natural sense. And how can one be born when one is already old? Can he possibly enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? But Jesus said in this way, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It is through the Holy Spirit of God that one can enter into his kingdom. That Spirit comes into our hearts when we can believe upon the work of our Lord and Savior. Jesus told these disciples that whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If one comes into God's kingdom, one can take nothing of themselves with them. We know that even in the, when we think of a young child, we think of perhaps, as I have had the opportunity to view this weekend, meaning my nephew and his wife's home, see a little baby, 2 months old, see a young boy, 18 months old, little children who trust in the care and the love of their parents, just as we here in God's kingdom, we trust in the care and the love of God's congregation here on this earth. We can think of this, these little children, as the greatest of believers. When we even think of this matter, that how is it that they can be great believers when they have not reached yet any age of reason or understanding? But Luther writes in this way, that has reason in your mind ever helped you in faith? Our human mind and reasoning always battles against faith. He said in this way, this kind of picture, that the big head of reason has no intention of going through the narrow door. We cannot, with our own mind, find God's kingdom. It is, as Paul says, a gift of God. One of the Proverbs tells us in this way, to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Remember, even one writing, I think in a book that was translated from the Finnish, one writer wrote in this way that it was his prayer that what is his own mind, he would understand nothing. Faith and reason, you could say, don't ever get along. Faith is that, as the writer to the Hebrews relates, that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. And we can even study that entire 11th chapter of Hebrews where it speaks of those former elders and saints, of their faith and their life, and how they believed God. As it was said about Abraham, it was counted unto him for righteousness. But here also, Jesus wishes to instruct us today. For he continued in this way, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." We have been given, each one of us, a duty here on this earth. Perhaps we often hear that this duty belongs to the fathers and mothers to take care of their children. But it belongs to each one of us in the kingdom of God. We would wish to take care of each other. We each have been given that grace gift and that power here on this earth to forgive those, not only those young children, but all in the kingdom of God. For we would all wish to be as little children. We would all wish to be as those young children that we see here today, that we know today have been given a tender conscience. For we often speak of young children when we bring them into the covenant of baptism. How Jesus brought that young child into the midst, even though the disciples had wished to rebuke those who had brought him, he invited that young child and he blessed him. How is it then we then would bring our young children into this covenant of holy baptism, this promise of holding faith and a good conscience, would one day inherit us eternal life? How is it that they understand? In the same way as we have just heard the words of Luther, we can look upon this matter in the eyes of the work of Christ, his redemption work. He was born here into this world as a man without sin. And he suffered and he died on our behalf. And he rose victorious on that third day, a victor over death. And even in this covenant of baptism, we often perhaps hear that we are buried with him by baptism into death. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, that Christ took our sins into the grave with him. And there they are buried. They are all paid for. And when a young child is born into this world, he is already born into the righteousness of Christ. He is already, from his awakening moments from the womb, righteous before God. For our Lord and Savior has already paid for the sins of that little one. Sometimes, perhaps it has happened that a young child has passed away before there was time for that child to be baptized. Perhaps it has caused concern or distress to those parents. There is no need to fear where that child now awaits you. He is, or she has attained the glory of heaven. We can remember that familiar children's song that there are treasures for children in heaven above who love Jesus and walk in his way. That golden crowns and harps and white robes they shall wear on that day. And also harps which they joyously play. Such a one has found that treasure of heaven. We do not need to be concerned. But only in this way, that when we believe, and what better believer is that of this little child, we one day also can enter into heaven's glory. But we are given a great duty here in this text. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. What does it mean to offend a little child? Perhaps we think of this word as someone who has done wrong against one another. And how is it that we can do wrong against a child? The greatest way would be that we would lead such a little one astray. We have then a sobering commandment here in how we teach and lead those in God's kingdom, how we speak to our brothers and sisters in faith, how parents speak to their children, how children speak to their parents. In this mutual congregation that God has called and gathered and enlightened with His Holy Spirit on this earth, we would endeavor to encourage one another in our life of faith. How do we encourage one another? It's a simple matter. There is not some great wisdom or understanding that we need to have. We only need to speak those words of the gospel, those words that you, dear listener, this morning can hear and believe in your hearts that all your sins and all of your doubts and all of your temptations in this world are forgiven in the name and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has suffered and died and raised victorious on our behalf. And this last verse we read here again reminds us that we despise not one of these little ones, but also tells us that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That there in this verse Jesus tells us of those guardian angels that watch over us. And also as we recalled the other evening, how that angels have come at certain times to this world to deliver messages to those who are here. And it seems, if we look at each and every time, whether it would be the night of our Savior's birth, or it was when Paul was met by that angel on the road to Damascus, they all come with the same kind of message. Fear not. And also today, we know that we have this flock of God's kingdom, are these angels and messengers who have come into our midst to speak that gospel message to us. We have heard of those foreign lands, spoke of those first visitors as angels delivering a message from God. And those who have had opportunity to travel there have rejoiced in hearing that same message spoken back to them. That there is that great unity that can only come from the Holy Spirit. How is it that one can travel up a hill far into the forest in Africa, into a small village, come to a small home, and open the door and be greeted with the peace of God? And within moments, know in your heart that here is a fellow traveler in faith. Here is one who has heard that same message from our Lord and Savior, that fear not, for it is our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This morning, we also have come to celebrate the Holy Supper of our Lord and Savior. It is a place we come to receive encouragement from our faith. You are exhorted today to carry your poor and weak faith to his altar and there receive encouragement. You can come as a little child, simply believing your sins and doubts forgiven in the name and blood of our Lord and Savior. Come believing, dear brother and sister, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.